Welcome to Bitch Sesh. It's Danielle Schneider, your trusted co-host. Now, today, Miss Casey Rose Wilson is not here, R.I.P. Casey, as Matt McConkie always says. She's in New York doing so many interviews and promos. She's doing Watch What Happens Live with Andy. I mean, she's promoting her new show, The Shrink Next Door, which is out, I think, November 12th. Which is so exciting. So we should all be on the lookout for that. But she is not here, but I do have a special co-host. Now, I bring out the big guns because it is the Beverly Hills reunions right now. And so we had to dig deep for this one because we need the best of the best. And I've brought you the best. Don't you worry. But before that, I just wanted to remind everyone, Bitch Sesh is going on tour to the people. I can't believe it. It's been 2 years, you guys. We're going on tour. I'm so excited. It's just a mini tour right now. We're going to be in Boston, February 17th at 7:30 p.m. at the Wilbur Theater, and New York City, February 19th at 8 p.m. at the Town Hall Theater. You guys, we're going to have special guests. So much fun. I've missed you guys' faces so much. I'm so excited to see you all there. You can get tickets. Go to my Insta or Casey's Insta and Ticketmaster, any of those things, and you'll find a way to get tickets. But we're so excited to see everyone. And now, without further ado, this guest has not been here in a dog's age, whatever that means. But I miss her and I love her so much. She's such a fan favorite and a me favorite. She is an expert. She was most recently on Watch What Happens Live with Miss Karen Huger. I mean, what a dream. I mean, that to me, you've made it when you've sat in the presence of the Grand Dame. Please welcome everybody. You've seen her on American Horror Story, which you should, if you haven't watched her, she's fucking brilliant on it. Please welcome Leslie Grossman.
What an intro, Danielle. Thank you so much.
Well, wow. You deserve it. You are. You're the grand dame-esse. Like, I mean,
that was exciting. When I found out I was going to be on with Karen, I kind of demanded. I was like, I need to be on with someone from Salt Lake or Potomac. And when they came back with Karen, I was thrilled, but she was terrible at playing the games. And I'm very competitive.
Yeah.
because I normally really kill those games. So besides that, she was actually a complete love and couldn't have been sweeter or kinder. So it was very fun.
Any nuggets from your private interactions? You know, I know we were there and we talked to them and everyone sees what's on screen, but any like little private nuggets that you had?
Like, it's going to be boring. The private nuggets were her being so lovely to me and telling me that I was a genius, which I appreciate. And then, and she was like, you are so fun. And I said, you are so fun. And I said, I'm always betting on you, Karen. I always bet on you. You know why? Because I only bet on winners. And she was like, mm-hmm. So it was a lovely interaction.
She agreed with you.
She did, but she couldn't, like, she was great. Like, no weirdness. Like, sometimes you meet some of those ladies and I don't have to tell you, it can get a little strange. She was wonderful, like really lovely. And by the way, super beautiful and like really.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah. And like snatched and really looking good. So up
stunning.
Close. Yeah. So it was a joy.
Did you exchange phone numbers like when Vicky gave you her phone number to give you insurance information?
Was that not iconic? Do you remember when we called her for the live show and she was at Costco? She was at Costco.
Yeah.
And she answered, by the way. I was like, she's never going to answer. She answered on like a half ring.
I mean, she literally picked up like, I don't pick up for, I have to know the number like I know my own number.
Exactly.
And she picked up half a ring at Costco. No problem.
Listen, your Kodo insurance doesn't sleep and she's got to make sure. I am so sad for her about Steve Law. I mean, she cannot stop getting screwed over.
But you know what? When you put bad energy into the world, bad energy comes back from you. And she is telling people not to get vaccinated.
Oh.
And she, didn't you hear about that?
I think I heard about it. You know what I think I did? I think I
what?
Absolutely
turned it off.
Correct. I think that I just, it went into a place in my brain and then I just pushed it out. Okay, you know,
I know
what?
And, yeah. And we have to do that sometimes with the housewives because I don't agree with a lot of them on many things.
Yeah.
And so we have to do that with so many of them. But, you know, he's a piece of shit too.
Yeah.
So I'm glad he's out of her life too.
True. No, good point. Good point. And by the way, by the way, I take that back. When you pick terrible people, terrible things happen. There you
go. Exactly. But at the same time, she hasn't picked any good ones.
No.
It's between Brooks and him. I don't know.
No. Where's Don? Did he remarry?
Oh, Don. Don was a good one.
He was a good one.
Don was a good one.
But you know
what?
That's
a shame.
I'm glad he got away from her. Oh my God, Vicky, don't email me if you care about this. I still want you to help me with insurance.
I do. I worry about her insurance policies too. All of it is a little suspect. But how are you? Where are you in the housewives world right now? Like, how are you coping? There's a lot on.
I'm trying to balance all of it. My priority is Beverly Hills. That is my priority. Although I do have to say, I think Potomac is firing on every cylinder. It's wonderful. It's paying off. And so I'm really enjoying. And, you know, Lisa Barlow on the most recent episode of Salt Lake, when her son got in the car, she said, "Hi, baby gorgeous." And now that is the only way that I will address anyone in my life. Hi,
baby gorgeous. That is, I mean, the fact, and we'll get into Salt Lake City soon, but it's iconic. I mean, I don't think I like her as a person, but I like her as a member of the housewife, which is how I feel about most of them.
Her tagline because it sounds like it was recorded into her iPhone while she was like running errands. Like she was like, "Oh, I got to record this right now." It was just great. I love it.
I know it is iconic in the way that she says that. She's just like, "You don't have to like me. I like me enough for both of us." She's just like, and it is like, and that's what I sort of love about her, is her voice patterns don't change for anything or anyone.
You know, when Meredith had her Shabbat dinner, and like they made homemade challah, which, you know, nothing made me happier.
Yes,
when Lisa Barlow was like, "We're Jewish." Like, Lisa Barlow is Jewish, but I guess a convert to Mormonism.
Which I don't know a lot of. That to me was, I mean, you and I are both Jewish. And so I've seen some, you know, Jews for Jesus out there. I've seen things in these years of mine on this earth.
I don't know about Jews who became Mormons, though.
I've never seen it. Never seen it.
Because Lisa does read Jewish to me. She reads Woman at the Synagogue, you know, that I'm seeing at the High Holidays. So that was interesting.
Yeah, it's a shock. It's strange. And where are you? You know, I haven't talked to you since everything with Beverly Hills went down. Like,
okay,
where? I mean, we might as well just get into
So here's the way I feel about all the reunions. Like, I get it, Andy. You're going to milk this as much as you can. I do the same thing. But here's what they're doing now. They're saving the last 10 minutes of the reunions for more Erica questioning.
Yes.
And it reminds me of like I really like basketball, but here's my feeling about it. Start the game with both teams having 80 points and play for 10 minutes, because that's always the most exciting part. So that's kind of like what I'd rather have one to two reunions with only Erica questioning. I mean, we got some good Kathy content, which I appreciate.
Yes, we did. And the tears between, like, I mean, what I realized about Kathy is that everything is about Big Kathy, you know, their mom.
I mean, that,
you know,
woman, it all comes cast down a long to shadow over those three adult women.
She does, especially Kathy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I guess because she was the oldest, and I'm the youngest of three, so I don't feel this, but Casey has always said, like, as the oldest child whose mother has passed, she's like, you really do feel the weight of carrying this thing on, which, you know, I haven't dealt with that, but the shadow Big Kathy casts over the whole family, but especially over Big Kathy, like, she can't even process. She didn't even watch the show. She just decided that it was disrespectful to her mother. And I believe she felt that, like, she is still in mourning, and not that you ever stop mourning for your mother. I know that, but the grief is still so on the surface.
And how old was Kathy when Big Kathy died? Like, a full adult woman?
I think a full adult woman with children.
I mean, it's big feelings. It's big feelings that I hope she's processing. I mean, Kathy is such a delight. And the way she came in and just, Kathy picked her lane and she's driven brilliantly in that lane.
She really is.
Like, she just really knows what she's doing. And she's so likable and wonderful and weirdly relatable.
Weird.
And this is a person who has the most unrelatable life possible. I love that she and Rick eat on TV trays every night.
Yes,
like, there's just so much. And there's something about her that's just so deeply good natured. And she's hilarious. And I think it's sweet because you see that like Kyle really gets a kick out of her. And I'm just glad they're doing well. But look, obviously, the focus of everything is Erica right now. And when I was on Watch What Happens recently, I got a little dragged because this was after the second episode.
Uh-huh.
And that, look, I feel many things about it simultaneously.
Well, that's the thing. You can hold many truths at the same time.
Thank you. Exactly. So
you can.
I'm going to break it down for you as quickly as I possibly can. I believe he's a grifter and a con man.
Yes, oh, for sure.
And
for sure.
And that I can tell you that you can absolutely be married to someone and not really know who they are if this person is a grifter.
We see it all the time.
Correct.
We see it all the time.
There was a massive power imbalance. She was a cocktail waitress at Chasen's or wherever she was working when she met him.
I thought it was like Hamburger Harry's or something.
I heard Chasen's. I could be wrong.
Any of those
things. So look, she had a young son. She was out in LA trying to make it. She met someone much more her senior. I mean, look, the age difference between them is the difference between me and my father. Yeah. It's a big age difference. And this was somebody. And by the way, Tom was legitimately very powerful and had the Bar Association wrapped around his pinky finger. And you think he treated her as an equal? Of course he didn't.
No.
Who knows? She had no clue.
And she went into a relationship where she, and I think this happens with a lot of women and men, even if not age differences, is that, you know, women sort of grow into themselves. They have sort of a second life. Mm-hmm. And she found a second life for herself and became more herself and became more powerful.
Correct.
And he wanted her to stay how she was. And I believe those things are true.
Look, that was a transactional marriage. That was a completely transactional marriage. And when there's a transactional situation, I think you're like, I don't really care where the money comes from. I'm doing this to get my mm-hmm. money. And then you're going to give me the money. And mm-hmm. I'm not concerned with how you're getting that money. And I'm assuming she thought it was pretty much legit. So mm-hmm. I
didn't care to know otherwise.
Correct.
You know,
so I believe with all my heart that there were definitely walls between her and Tom and getting to know the reality. I bet she had no access to certain accounts, blah, blah, blah. By the same token,
mm-hmm.
none of this is a good look. No. They talked about this on last night's reunion and the third installment.
Yes.
About her Instagram and how awful the Instagram looks in while all of this is going on. And her argument is, this is how I make money. Mm-hmm. But it comes off as cold and totally tone deaf.
Yes.
And
also that she's the victim. It's not all about how that she makes money, because she's still posting things that are like Team Erica.
Yeah.
And as I've said before in the podcast, there's no Team Erica.
No, no, no.
It's not like Team Erica against who? Against Tom? Against the victim? Like, no Team Erica.
The only tact to take here is this is an absolute nightmare. There's nowhere for me to go with this. This is awful. And I'm going to lay low for a minute. And I get that her feeling is like, I'm not going to let this bring me down. I get that. But also there's widows and orphans and victims of horrendous.
And maybe it should bring you down emotionally.
Correct.
I'm not saying it needs to take away your life. I'm just saying maybe you need to take some time to look within and how we got here.
Do you remember when she said, I don't know if it was the second to last episode, she said, not of the reunion, but of the show, mm-hmm. that she had told her lawyer, she was like, I know I'm getting nothing and I know there's nothing there and we're not going to ask for anything. And she was like, my lawyer said to me, that is the most courageous thing I ever heard.
I was like, oh. But I think she thinks that like I am, and it's like, there are bigger things at play here.
Mm-hmm. No,
and you do make money, Erica. You, Erica Jane, make money. There's your book and the thing. And, you know, like, so you have money to live, not the life you did live.
Correct. But the first thing I thought when she said that was, I was like, oh, wasn't there someone who got burned over 90% of their body that didn't get their money that Tom was supposed to give them? That's pretty courageous to continue to live a life and come back from that. Like, to say that that's the most courageous. I mean, it was just, and also the problem is her centering herself in this story as the victim. And so, I'm of many minds that I do believe that Tom fucked her over, but good, and that she really, really had no idea. Do I also understand that she was willfully ignorant and didn't want to know where things were coming from? When you live a life where your entire brand is, bragging isn't even the word, all consumption and how rich I am and the things that I have, particularly with what's going on in the world today, it's like so endlessly tacky and awful and tone deaf.
Especially when there are victims that are.
Yes.
It's all just so. But I do.
It's gross. In this state, like, I can't imagine having a camera in my. Like, I don't think it's cute to spend $90,000 on a purse.
But at the same time, I will say this, and we are guilty of this, or I myself do like watching the luxury. I'm sorry, but like that is a, you know, it's like two things can be true.
But the thing is, what I think is like, okay, why don't you buy yourself a $10,000 purse and spend $80,000 on charity?
But like they're not going to.
I understand.
They're never going to.
But I have like, this is the push and pull that I have with these women all the time. Like,
yeah.
And look, Dorit told us last night that she pays for all of her own clothes.
I don't believe that. I do not believe that. I'm sorry. I do not believe
that. So do you think they're giving her all those clothes?
I think she's borrowing them. I'm not saying all of them, but I think there is so much. I mean, again, our listeners know that I have gone into those stores and it's so wildly expensive. A shirt is thousands of dollars. Like it's so for her to be covered in head to toe every single time.
There's no way.
They can't sustain this. They don't make money. I'm sorry. Yeah. Not the kind of money that they are spending constantly. We don't know what PK does except for manage Boy George, who again is not on an upswing.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
Like I'm just saying, and that you just get a cut as a manager. That's like 10%.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying like, we don't know what else he does. Dorit does well on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, but I'm sure they have investments. But we also know he's had bankruptcy up the wazoo and they have creditors banging down their door. Like, there is not the money for this. I'm not saying that there isn't jewels and stuff there. I'm just saying that, like, she is not paying for this all.
So do we think she's paying a stylist who's getting it for her and then it's obviously getting returned?
Yes, some. Yes. But there's no shame in that game. There's no shame. Just like there's no shame in renting a house. But on every single one of these shows, the worst thing you can say to another housewife is you don't own your home. Like, I'm like, renting is great. Like, I
rent it up, baby.
Rent everything. That way you can call, like, a landlord to help you clean things. Like, to
here's
fix
the thing.
Things.
When I think of Erica Jane, it makes me think of this. So my grandma Mona, God rest her soul, the greatest person ever. You never ever brag because you're inviting what's called a ken hora in Yiddish, the evil eye. Mm-hmm. You're inviting bad shit to happen to you if you brag about the shit you have. So that's, and I just feel like when you sit there for years and you're all about like, honey, I've got all the, you know, whatever.
That was a very good Erica Jane.
Well, here's the thing. Erica Jane is now only going between two different voices. In confessionals, it's a very, very intense nasal. It's very, it's up here. Or when she's crying and it gets very deep and we get very low down here. There's only two Erica Janes. But she is just, she's doing nothing to help herself. Just nothing to help herself. And also the fact that she can't understand that I get these women being like, I'd love to not get roped into this. And I'm not getting too close. Like, that's just smart.
Well, she also is saying, I'm the source. Come to me. And it's like, you are not the source. A, you have been so secretive. No one knew anything about your life. Like, come on. You have been zipped. No one knew one iota of your life.
Like,
everything
has
been a
shock.
Before
the divorce announced,
exactly.
Like, that's what
so
I love
you
about
are
Tom.
Not. You're not the source.
Right.
Also, you're a fucking bully.
Yeah.
And people are afraid of you. And so they're afraid to come to you with questions because you take questions or doubt as a threat. And so they don't want to come to you. So they have to go to other sources. They are afraid of you. You are no one's friend.
No.
You are not close with anybody.
No.
So you can't be mad at them for going other places, not wanting to come to you. You have not been open-minded, open-mouthed, or open-hearted in any way for years.
You're exactly right, Danielle. And I also started this season, I wasn't a big Sutton fan last year. I didn't care
Me
about
neither.
Her. And
I started at the beginning of the season with
no,
all that
with the stupid
stuff.
Eye, the face rolling, which by the way, I do have that roller. I've had it for a few years. Yes,
and you'd use it. What do you use it for?
It's to depuff and circulate.
Do you
the
find
eye.
That it depuffs?
Well, when you
Does
put it,
de-stress?
I put it in the freezer,
okay.
And in the morning it feels good. Although I'm putting a lot of stock in it, and I'm like, no, this is going to cure everything. Like, while I'm aggressively rolling my face, but I wasn't into her. I didn't love her and Crystal going after each other. But you know what? She absolutely won me over this season.
Me too.
She really did.
Also, not just that she wasn't afraid to sort of put out questions that everyone's asking her and Garcelle, because Garcelle also asked the big questions. But I also think she learned and grew, which housewives never do. But I do think it's nice to watch her and Crystal, because we all say, do things, make mistakes, don't know things. She obviously, you know, had a really shitty beginning of the first season when she said that I'm not doing this. I don't see all that stuff.
Not great.
But she learned and grew.
Yes.
And that's what we hope. I hope I myself, when I make mistakes, can learn and grow and say, I didn't know that now. Then I know that now. I want that for all of us to be able to make mistakes, see it, learn it, feel it, grow from it, become a better person. And we got to watch Sutton do that. And you can see her and Crystal have a actual friendship now. They enjoy each other. And that is someone learning and growing. And Crystal being, you know, willing to kind of accept her, you know, and show that, she, you know, it's okay for someone to make mistakes and learn and grow. I felt like that was wonderful.
I am in complete agreement. But not only that, I think her take on Erica, I'm like, she's right. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but she's right. Like, she's thinking about it through a legal lens. And I don't want to get implicated.
She's, again, the only one that finished the article.
Yes,
exactly. She's the only one that could bear to get through, like, a two-page article.
So I'm going to say Sutton really won me over. I thought she looked very, I think she looks very beautiful at the reunion. Mm-hmm. I liked when she said her earrings were important. They're important, Danielle. They're important. What do you think about Garcelle this year?
I loved her. You know, I'm a fan of Garcelle. I love Garcelle in general. She's giving us beauty. She's mm-hmm. giving us smarts. She's giving us, you know, everything we need in a housewife. She's not afraid to go there. I love that she, you know, found a way to say to the women, like, because they're saying, you're one of us. We're a person, you know, like, and she was like, no, you don't see me.
Yeah.
I have always walked into rooms and felt other.
Mm-hmm.
And I still feel that way. And so I think that was the first time the women really heard her. She'd been trying to say it in different ways all season. And mm-hmm. then she finally basically, poor Garcelle, had to like break down in tears for them to
hear her. That bums me out that the women made it get to that place. It's
yes.
Do you guys not have an understanding of what it's like to come in as the first Black woman on this show?
Yeah.
Like, come on, guys. Like, do better. Also, Dorit's screaming at her more than once is not a good look.
No.
And it's not okay. First of all, Dorit, regulate yourself. Yeah. Regulate yourself. Calm yourself down. Do not yell at Garcelle.
Yeah, especially because Erica has been such a bully to Dorit as well. Like,
yeah.
Erica has bullied everybody. So for then her to come for Garcelle, it was just like, you are looking in the wrong place.
Don't do that. And also, I think the way that Garcelle reacts, Garcelle always is able to really keep her cool.
Oh,
and
yeah.
even at that one luncheon where she started getting angry at the women, I was like, this feels completely justified to me. Like, this was
yes.
not her being unregulated. But
no.
like when Dorit screamed at her, I think in the first episode of the reunion, and Garcelle
yeah.
was just like, that there it is. So I think she's handled herself in a way that's lovely. And I think sort of the trio of Crystal, Garcelle, and Sutton.
Oh, I'm loving it. Did you see that LA Times
yes.
article they did together? I was having fun reading that. I was like, we're all friends.
Yeah, like, I think it's great.
Truly.
And I think they've sort of figured something out for themselves, which I really, really appreciate. And I did not see me enjoying that journey. I didn't know that we were going to go there.
Yeah,
so,
and I really.
Good for them.
What I found very upsetting, which I didn't know, was the sort of hate mail that Crystal's been getting.
That was
a fucking disgusting display. People, if you were writing Crystal and giving her, like, hating on her, giving her racist remarks, I mean, the fuck is wrong with you? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Say it again, Danielle.
So
social media is, as we know now, just an abject cesspool. And unfortunately, I wasn't shocked, but I was really devastated for her to hear that. And what a painful, awful, terrible thing for her to have to experience. And also being the first Asian cast member. In Beverly Hills. And I thought, really doing, like, being so great about it in introducing the culture she grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just sort of so lovely. And
yeah.
I agree with you. That was really awful and upsetting and disgusting to hear about. And I also, you know, I want to tell you something, Danielle, is an overarching thing in general.
Yeah.
You know, I am on television shows, and people have opinions
yeah.
about me being on those television
yes.
shows, and they
I
will,
do.
You know, people really feel the need sometimes to get on social media and write something to me that they don't like about my face or my voice or my acting or whatever. And it's like, I can't, whatever. It's like,
yeah,
that, whatever. But these women, this is them.
Yeah.
This is not a character they're playing. I mean, some of them are hamming it up or whatever, but this is, I think, I think this is unbelievably brave because I have to tell you, I would not last 2 minutes as a housewife.
Oh, neither would I.
2 minutes. You are putting yourself out there to be abjectly ridiculed, torn down, made fun of. And I mean, look, I understand there's also one.
There's a trade-off. Well, I mean, there you are deciding like I am trading this for money or fame or whatever. So, you know, you are entering into a bargain.
And obviously they're coming into this because there's some sort of like deep, dark, unquenchable thirst to fill a hole that will never be filled. And I get that.
You could say the same thing about being an actor.
I don't know what you're talking about, Danielle. I am completely healthy in every way.
Oh, me too. Wait, let me take my Lexapro.
I take mine first thing in the morning.
I meant another one.
Oh, good. Got it. Your second dose. Yes. Throughout the day to regulate.
Double dosing.
Sure. Love it. My daughter actually the other day was like, what are all these pills in my medicine cabinet? And I was like, sit down, lady, and let me tell you a story.
Let me tell you a tale.
Because they all do different things.
Yes. So
anyway, I of course, there's something I can relate to about it. But I the way that they put themselves out there to me is unbelievable that they get up in the morning and even get on Twitter because,
Oh, I couldn't. God. I basically dropped off Twitter. I can't
me too. Oh, no.
Function.
It's just not for what gain?
No. And I will say this, like, it is a bargain, but I always say this, even about our podcast, because yes, we are, you know, I'm being hypocritical to say we talk shit about these women, but I always say to our audience, do not tag them.
Don't do it.
They don't need to know. Mm-mm. Just like, do not tag me. Whatever you think about me, whatever we...
I don't need to know.
No, it's none of my business, and it's none of their business.
Correct.
So we can still have our conversations and think one thing one day and something else the next day. Do not tag them. It's none of their business what we think about them. Why ruin their day?
Danielle,
we don't need to.
We are in complete agreement.
Yeah. But Beverly Hills, I mean, it's just, I mean, we'll wait for the fourth part. Is anything else you want to say about Beverly Hills before we
I want
to
just say one last thing about all reunions in general. Mm-hmm. The fact that this deep in, this is the lighting. And I don't know why any of these ladies haven't sued whoever is lighting them. Oh my God.
It's
like
crazy.
You see every pore. And by the way, they look amazing. But the reason it stresses me out is I imagine myself sitting on that couch. I would never recover seeing myself in HD in that lighting. Like, what are they doing to people? Stop it. Put a filter on those ladies. Mm-hmm. Where's the bounce? I would literally bring my own goddamn flashlight and just turn it on and point it right at my face. Like,
I know Kathy brings a box fan everywhere, but she can't bring like a bounce board.
I mean, it's just—it's really that lighting is not doing anyone any favors,
no.
And this is consistent. This is across all reunions, and this is for years. And I don't know why those ladies haven't band together.
Yeah, and said we will not show. I mean, they in New York they said they wouldn't show up. They other cities can, or I think that's what they did in New York, but. Let's band together and get some better lighting, get some blotting papers. We really just need to.
I would personally pay for the lighting at those reunions. I'd be like, it's worth it to me. For my mental health, it's worth it to me. So that's my last opinion on all that.
I know we have
one more, and I don't think we're going to get to the bottom of anything.
We'll never get to the bottom of anything. Like, I think Chris Kelly came on the other week. I don't know if you know him. He's very funny.
He's hilarious.
But he was like, I know we all want for it to be like this thing of like, I did it and I knew what I was doing. Like, we feel like we're going to get some big revelation. It's never going to happen. But I do think that we all want, we're waiting for that fourth part to get the big revelation. We're never going to get
it. I do. And I just,
I
want that confession and I want it in the highest nasal, like, listen, you want to know the truth? I do everything. At Girardi Keith's, I was running the books. I diverted all money into my personal bank account. Like, I want that and we're never going to get it.
We're never going to get that.
God
so, but
damn it.
It's nice to hope. It's nice to dream, even if we dream an unreasonable dream.
We're dreaming the impossible dream.
Yes. Just like Don Quixote.
Yep.
It's the same thing. Let's come back with some Potomac and let's take a little break. And we're back. Oh, Potomac. We're still on the Chesapeake, the good old Chesapeake. We've been there for months. We've been on the Chesapeake for months.
Mm-hmm.
I can't look at this house any longer.
No. And by the way, I want you to know that I am with Giselle and Robin. I would have been like, I'm not staying here. I'm not staying in this janky ass room with, what am I going to use the bathroom down the hall? What are you, out of your
especially
mind?
If you have your period that seems to be the heaviest flow ever known to man.
Robin and her period. Oh, and she was my hero through this whole Chesapeake experience, sitting with her arms crossed and people like, hey, Robin, I have my period. Or no, this is my favorite. I'm on my period. Yeah, I loved
she's
it.
Not.
Giselle has a broken foot. I mean, what are they doing?
These are two women that are unwell right now and cannot be bothered to stay. So they'd rather go to the Marriott, you know, half an hour away.
I'm with them. And I would have done the exact same thing. What do we think of the Mia Candace of it all?
The Mia. I love Mia. Mm-hmm. I love her journey. I love her story. I love how much she loves her husband, who seems, you know, he is like me. He did say.
He's like you?
Yes, in the sense where we're very similar in the sense that we have not been out of the house in 2 years. So when we get out, we're a little socially awkward. We're not great.
And we can all relate to that.
You know what I mean? So would I behave all drunken and start like licking my lips to Karen? Probably.
That lip licking is...
Oh, her reaction to it was so funny when she was just like, what's that?
Now, Karen, in my opinion, has been a delight in this whole Chesapeake chapter.
Oh, delightful.
Popping out of the cake. And just like when she did that thing with his mouth and she was just like, and just got herself out of there. And then like trying to mediate between the girls all while eating some sort of crab sandwich.
Yes.
Like, I've been a big fan of Karen during this. You know, I really, first of all, I'm going to say something and I feel like I'm not going to be able to come back from this.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Something and I'm going to regret this. I'm going to regret saying it out loud.
Okay.
So I want to talk about Chris and Candace.
Oh, wow.
I want you to know that there is a part of me, I can't believe I'm saying this, that is attracted to Chris. I can't help it.
Oh, people. I mean, especially the way that I'm attracted. You can come back from that. You know, look, I have gone both ways with Chris. I have been like, get him away from her. Uh-huh. And now I'm like, oh, she needs him because she is dysregulated.
Here's
completely.
Dysregulated is the perfect word for her. Now, the Tyra, I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you.
Yes.
That is how I feel about Candace. I want to like her. She gives great confessional.
Oh, she's funny as fuck.
Funny as fuck. Drop dead gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Like, I find her like really watchable and compelling. Like, I'm interested in her.
She's giving us fashion too, which I appreciate. I like her eye dabs, though I am worried about her eyes and what every item she sticks in them is sharper and sharper. Every napkin, I'm like, what?
Well, she's going down the Kyle Richards, wrap a stiff napkin around your index finger and poke in there as hard as you possibly can.
But every napkin is stiffer.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it's just truly a point. Like, I'm truly concerned.
Like,
her
tear ducts, like she's going to pierce them and they're never going to recover.
Because these aren't, like, absorbent napkins.
No.
Like, these are, like, restaurant napkins that are really just to, like, cover your body if something's spilled. Like, they're hard to touch.
Candace's behavior in these last few episodes is actually not okay. And it makes me, I'm not saying this in like a bitchy way. I'm saying this in an actually, you know, empathetic way. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about her. There's something going on.
Well, it's her mother. It's her mother. Again, her mother looms so large in her life.
And her mother
is
abusive.
So mean. Abusive. I mean, she hit her with a purse.
Straight out abusive in every way and has really ruined her. Yeah. And what Chris is having to deal with in, you know, get like calming her down from this terrible, terrible behavior. It's really unhealthy.
Well, she, I always say when Candace like flips out, like she's not there anymore. Mm-hmm. Like she, nothing can be done. She cannot be calmed. She cannot be spoken to. Like she needs to be brought away, which is what Chris does. Cause she just, I think she blacks out. Like I really believe she does not know what she is
but
doing.
But her behavior is enough for Chris to absolutely end a marriage. I mean, insane.
But loves her. He loves her and he's trying to help her. I just don't know how much she's got. And I did think she was learning and growing at the beginning of the season.
Me too.
She did seem to be coming at it. But I did see a light, which was when she finally told Mia,
right,
I am working so hard on this video that when you called it, you know, low rent, what did she say? Low rent, low, I can't remember what she said, but like, it hurt me in such a way.
Because that was her mother. Because that's her mother.
And so it really hurt her and that she could say that she finally basically, instead of just screaming back and saying horrible things to me. Though it seems to me that since that their Twitter war makes me think that Candace has learned nothing. Yeah. So I say this with a grain.
Yeah.
But it did. It was a big moment for me when Candace actually sat down and said, "This is how you hurt me." Mm-hmm. Like admitted that she could be hurt, admitted why she was hurt. And then Mia understood. So that was a nice moment. Do I think it's all been erased from what I can tell from Twitter? Yes. But I did it. I was happy that there was an understanding.
Well, there's these two women that have suffered different but serious trauma at the hands of their mothers. Yeah. And Mia's being a complete open book, mm-hmm. I love. And look what she's done with her life. I wish that Mia would understand that her mother will never, ever, ever be the mother that she wants her to be. And she needs to have radical acceptance. She should never have let her mother watch her children. Her mother is in no way, shape, or form able to handle being around children. This is not...
Well, she's around her sister's children, though. So I think Mia, because remember, like, she's basically helped her sister raise her kids. I mean, she basically nannies them. So I think Mia wants that for herself.
It's not going to happen. And it's not... And we saw that really didn't go well. No, so I mean, I have to say, like, I really, like, I'm always really touched by Mia's just total openness about her mother, her childhood.
I'm gonna start crying, but like the way...
Oh, Danielle!
Well, you know, I have my own issues, but the way that she says mommy to me, like, I see that little girl wanting her mommy, and mm-hmm. we've talked about this a little bit on the podcast, but like, we all want our mommies, you know, like on some level, even grown women.
Yeah.
We want our mommies too, you know, even though we are mommies ourselves. Mm-hmm. I just think like I see that pain in her, you know.
Oh my God. And it's right there on the table.
It's so on the surface. And I get her.
She's never going to heal that with her mother.
No, she has to heal it in herself. Exactly. And she's trying.
She's trying. And I have real faith in Mia being able to get through this. And also, I think Mia is like a really great, committed mom.
Yeah. And I think she's strong. She's been through so much shit that she is strong. You know what I mean?
You know, I'm lucky because I have a mom who's really great. And like my whole goal in life, my fucked up shit with my mother is like, I don't think I'm going to be able to do it as well as my mother did. Like that's my hang up. Mm-hmm. But you can absolutely, when you have your own children, parent them in the way that you wish you were parented.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do. I think about that, or when I see myself doing things that I recognize as old behavior mm-hmm. and patterning, I really try and make a different choice. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? But I am parenting my daughter, and I'm parenting myself by parenting my daughter.
Right. And I think you can heal a lot of that stuff because... Yeah. You can say, wow, my children will never understand anything like what my childhood was like because they'll mm-hmm. always have a super present mom that was there for them. So I think that I have good faith that Mia is going to be okay. I really do.
Yeah.
I think she's a hustler. I think she's a worker. I think she's going to do
whatever. She's a chiropractor.
Yes. I think she's got a lot going on. True. And so I think she's going to be all right. And I'm just bummed about it. And it's funny because Mia has every right in the world to be nasty and cruel, and she's not. Mm-hmm. And Candace really is. And so when I watch Candace, I cringe because I feel like if I watched myself doing that, I would mm-hmm. be like, oh shit, I've got to get myself into some sort of residential program.
You know what I think of though, when I think of someone, Mia, I don't know why it's Mia versus Candace, because I think I'm looking at two different souls sometimes, like, I do believe sometimes in old souls and new souls. Mm-hmm. And Candace feels like fresh off the yeah, you know what I mean? Like she is fresh off the turnip truck. Yes. Like her soul is new.
Yeah.
And Mia's soul has been here before. And you know what I mean? Like there just feels like a gravitas to me. And I mm-hmm. say, you know what I mean? Again, we're all still houseless, but this is Candace's first ride. Like, you know what I mean?
Do you think she and Chris are going to make it?
I don't know, man. It's going to be tough. I think, you know, he loves her for her, but there's only so much. If she can learn and grow, or if he can realize that, like, oh, this is a codependent relationship and it's probably not healthy. I don't know what's going to happen. I can't predict those
okay,
two.
Okay, so I'm not alone in my attraction to Chris.
No, I don't have it, but other listeners do. It's not for me. He's not for
There's
me.
There's something about him.
But people love him.
There's something
about him. And people
about him.
Really feel it. Now, the man I hate the most on this show, the man, even more than, like, I fucking hate Ashley's husband.
What's to like? He's the one, and that, I mean, that seduction. Ashley, what are you doing? You're wasting it.
I know. I just want her to.
How does she not see what we all see? How?
I don't know.
Michael Darby. No.
Wait, and this was to me a revelation, and maybe this happened in seasons past. Did we know that Michael Darby owned the Watergate? And do we believe that? And do we believe that he owned the Watergate?
This was new information to me. I had no idea, but. This just makes me so desperately sad for Ashley.
I'm so sad. I'm so sad because she is so beautiful and funny and sweet and smart. And I just want more for her. I want so much more for her than that terrible man.
Terrible man. Can you imagine? I'm sorry. That guy making you feel like bad about yourself. Like she is. So stunningly gorgeous. She's like 6 weeks postpartum or whatever, maybe more, but practically begging him to throw her the tiniest.
I'm gonna throw up. I'm gonna throw up.
Literally and figuratively throw her a bone. And it's like, I just can't imagine that being the guy. And like, here's the thing. I'm not even talking about the fact that he is not someone that I find attractive. And by the way, please don't send me a message on Twitter that I'm not attractive. I don't care.
We don't care. It's not about his attractive.
It's that he's awful. Because if he was a wonderful, adorable man who treated her wonderfully, I'd be like, you know what? They're so sweet. I love it. They're great together. It's that he's gross and awful. It's like the worst combination of a person.
And awful to her.
Awful.
And the fact that she's got to worry about him stepping out. Like,
I've got to sex myself up. And only the whipped cream. I mean, it was just
to hear them kiss. I was like, I hate him so much. Like, I can't watch this. I have to turn away.
It's so brutal. And I just, you know, they have two kids. Obviously, you want to keep that family unit intact. And I think he does seem committed to the kids, but I don't see this turning out well for her. I really, really don't. It's just awful. And I feel like it's getting particularly dark. And you can see that her therapist is like, I don't know.
I like her therapist.
Yeah.
Oh, you know whose therapist I like is Giselle's therapist.
I do too. And I have to say, that stuff with Giselle's daughters I mean, look, my daughter's going to be 15 in like 10 days.
Wow.
And I want to tell you, like, it's no type of joke. And she's got three teenage girls, and they are brutally honest with her. And that's really, really tough. You know, it's funny. I know people really dislike Giselle.
I don't dislike Giselle. I do not dislike Giselle. Does she have terrible fashion that is never gets, like, it only gets worse?
Yeah, it really does. Did you see the pictures from the Potomac reunion?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Awful.
I actually don't understand.
It's almost enjoyable though, because she's obviously stunning. A stunning woman.
Well, the face is insane. I mean, she is one of
the
most
gorgeous. Every part of her. She's stunning, stunning, stunning. So it's sometimes nice when such a gorgeous woman is like, I don't need anything else.
I guess the face is going to do all the work for me.
Yeah, it's going to do all the work. What do I need fashion? What do I need a cute house for?
I have to say, and this may be an unpopular opinion, if I were on that show, I feel like I'd be in the Robin Giselle gang. I feel like those would be
I would be. I would be with Karen Huger all the way. I'd follow her to the ends of the ends of her. But that's what I do like when Giselle and Karen have a moment like they did on the bus the other week, because they're both so funny and they both are similar in so many ways that when they get, you know, talking and having a good time together, there's no two that are better than those two together.
And the way they go after each other is also impressive.
Like, it's so impressive.
These ladies, I would last under 24 hours. I'd be like, I can't believe people talk
like this.
That's
what's so shocking to me is that on Beverly Hills, and I guess it's not shocking because, but those women do not go after Erica. She is lucky that those women haven't gone after her harder, because in no other city would this be happening. I feel like,
but you know,
they are all under Erica's thumb, except for Sutton and Garcelle.
But that big, you know, the very famous, or what? That, in my opinion, just made Sutton look super sane.
Yeah.
And when Sutton was like, or what, Erica? Like, what does that even mean? Like, and it didn't make Sutton look weak. It made Erica look fucking nuts and scary.
But it made her look like she thinks she's in a movie where she's the hero.
But it's all bark. Where's the bite? What is she going to do to Sutton? What is she?
She's like, you don't know what I'm taking names and I'm remembering.
Okay.
It's like, and what?
What's going to happen with those names? You going to sue me? Like, of course she's not. What is she going to sue Sutton for saying something mean about her on a show? I don't think Erica needs any more legal bills to go after Sutton. I can't even imagine what Erica's legal bills are. I mean, you understand that, like, those lawyers are not a dollar less than $8.50 an hour.
Oh my God.
So you can wrap up in 1 week tens of thousands of dollars in legal bills.
Millions and millions.
So I don't know, how is she going to pay this? Like, I know we're on Potomac, but like, this is something I think about when I'm alone in my car. Like, the pressure of that, like, I don't know how she's ever going to get out from under this.
No, it's awful. It's just the whole thing. It's gross.
Danielle, what are we going to do?
I don't know. It stresses me out.
Stresses me out too.
It stresses me out.
What do we think of Wendy? What are we thinking of Wendy with that Balenciaga sweater?
I love Wendy. I love her husband. I love that he kicked the candle business off because she was like, I don't have a business plan. And he's like, I got it. I love her.
He's adorable.
I love him.
Yeah.
I love her so much. I love that she sold out of candles. I think she made five of them and she sold out. I'm proud of her.
How do you feel about a three wick versus a one wick?
You know, I've only had one wick candles. So it's a shock to see that. I've heard of three wicks, but I'm a one wick girl. So I'm more of a Wendy than a Karen. And I say that, you know, as Karen being my favorite housewife now, especially that Portia has left the building. But, though she's doing a new show. Have you heard about that? Like,
no.
I didn't even know about this. And then it came, like, TC sent me the link the other day. It's like, it's called, like, it's about Portia and like her new life with her new fiance.
On Bravo.
Yeah.
Wow. That's going to be a real journey.
I know, which I'm excited. Of course, I'm going to hop all over that.
Oh, I know you will. You love Portia.
I do. I love her, but I also love Karen. I love Karen.
Wow. I didn't know that your love for Karen was so deep. I didn't know that.
It's gotten deeper and deeper. It's gotten deeper this season. It gets deeper every year.
With her. I don't know why we even do that.
Oh my God. Well, I did DM you and I was like, oh my God.
I wish I knew. I didn't know that your feelings were so deep. I really, really didn't.
They've run deeper. I have to say, it's not like, you know, because the first few seasons of Potomac, I was in and out. It was the same with Dallas. I was like, these are two new ladies. I don't know how I feel. Do I have the time? You know what I mean? Like, as you feel with all new cities, except for Salt Lake, because from the jump, and we're going to get into that in a second. It was, but I didn't know. So I went in and out, and Potomac has really risen to the top of the charts.
Yeah.
So there you go.
They bring it.
Should we take a little break and then come back with Salt Lake? And we're back with Salt Lake.
Hey, baby gorgeous. Hi, baby gorgeous.
Hi, baby gorgeous. I love that they're going to two different fast food places. For me as a kid and for my child, not that I'm so this like healthy mom and only like brown grains and shit. No, believe me, my child eats enough shit. But the fact that every day it seems she's just like, okay, we're going to go to Wendy's and then we're going to go to the Lotta Burger. Like, I'm just like, this is a shock. Like, two different fast food places. And that you're being like, oh yeah, this is where we're going to go. I grew up with all grains. Like, I did too. I grew up in a house that, like, not grains, but it was all like sugar-free, like Tab, like all sort of like carcinogens where it was just like, you know what I mean?
I know exactly.
NutraSweet.
Like fake food. You grew up with fake food.
Fake food, but like not fatty stuff. Like, and so I would hoard candy and I would hoard, like I used to hide shit.
Danielle, yeah, this crazy. Is the way that I was raised with food is literally the crux of my entire personality. That my family was not fake food. We were carob, cloudy apple juice. Like never, like the way that I would rebel would be to sneak fried chicken. Like that was like, I didn't do drugs. I did fried chicken. So
well, I still have like, because I wasn't allowed any like candy or like you had to have 3 glasses of milk before you had, which is so gross, before you had soda. Or sometimes you were allowed to put the soda in the milk.
Stop it.
It's so gross.
Stop it.
I'm kidding you.
I know you're being funny, but I was never allowed soda.
Not kidding.
Like, wait, about soda in milk?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to have to unpack that at a later date.
I'm not kidding.
Laverne from Laverne and Shirley's. I know, milk and Pepsi.
No, you had to put the soda, the sugar-free soda, the sugar-free Dr. Brown soda.
Wow.
Into milk.
Oh, wow. Wow, Danielle, your palate was destroyed as a child.
And so I do have a lot of food issues about like sugar cereal. Yeah. Like when I got to college and stuff, I just lost my fucking mind.
Because I was like, I'm going to have Cap'n Crunch for dinner.
Every minute of the day.
How about that?
But then you even out. You know what I mean? Yeah. At some point you try to like get some semblance of like just moderation, you know, of like I'm going to, and not, and like, you know what I mean? Like, so the fact that she's a woman in her, I assume, late 30s, early 40s, like even it out, bitch, like don't go to Wendy's every day.
She's overcorrecting really hard in the other direction with her kid.
I just kind of feel like at some point you're supposed to kind of like find a middle ground. Like it just felt like
What are you feeling about this season so far?
It feels like we're just waiting for a bomb to go off.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Agreed.
So I want to get to the bomb. You know, Casey and I went to Salt Lake City and we've told our listeners and last week we interviewed Heather.
I love her.
She's a dream.
She's my most favorite. She feels like a real person.
Oh, she's a real person. She's completely a real person. And I love her. And
Has gone through it.
I hate what the Mormon church has done to her. I hate what religion has done to her because it has made her feel like a bad person when she's a fantastic person.
Fantastic. But her daughters love her and adore her,
which she loves her daughter. Exactly. Yeah. But I do feel like we're just waiting for this Jen Shaw bomb
to go
off.
Let's get to it, guys. Like, what is this bullshit? Let's get to it.
And I'm in so much pain watching that piece of shit Dewey try and force his
wife. What is happening over oysters and martinis? That was just very strange. Is that real?
It's real.
You think this is real, that conversation?
I don't know. I decided it was.
Okay. He is, it's not great. And I like her. I mean, I like her too.
My heart breaks for her. 13 miscarriages, one stillborn. Are you fucking kidding me?
That's horrendous.
I had one miscarriage I'll never recover from. You know what I mean?
The stillborn thing is so horrendous and awful. It's all just, it's all very intense. And he's coming off like a real piece of shit. So, I don't know where that's going to lead us, but let's be really honest. Mm-hmm. I'm not really interested in anything except for Jen Shaw. This is all I want to see. This is all I want to know about it. And all of this is filler until we get, I mean, this is real shit. Like, this is real, serious, like hardcore US government defrauding.
SWAT teams.
Major jail time. Like, this is for real. And this is like a Dateline episode come to life. And I want all my information, and I want it now.
All I think about when she's doing testimonials is that, you know, they filmed the testimonials later to kind of like, you know, track the show and blah, 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 and, you know, piece it all together. So they're doing testimonials a lot of times, mostly halfway through the season and also at the end of the season. So during the testimonials, when she's laughing and joking around, I'm like, how can you laugh and joke around when you're like, I am under indictment? Like,
in a very,
freaking,
very... Yes.
Like,
I'm also very much on Meredith's side in her war with Jen.
Yes.
And I think it's disgusting what Jen did to Brooks. Disgusting.
And that she pretended that it was her people. I don't
Shut the fuck
that
up.
And
also, if you're going to come for someone's child, which is to me off limits in every way, shape, or form, at least own up to it. Don't lie.
She's
a criminal. I don't believe anything she says about anything. Like, it's fascinating to me. And I really, like, come on. Like, let's get to the good stuff. Let's go.
The most upsetting part of the episode to me, one of them, besides Dewey, was...
Oh, God.
The fact that Mary's voicemail is not set up was so disconcerting to me.
You know that Mary freaks me out in a way that I can't express. Like,
Why? Because she's a cult leader?
She's... I don't know why we're... Like,
because she's married to her step-grandfather.
There's so many things. How about how, what is it that, what was that ridiculous fact that Mary said and then got infuriated that someone wanted to Google it? What was her fact?
Oh, it was that carbonation like shrinks your ovaries, which Dr. Tiffany Moon, I don't know if you saw this.
Did she say that's not true?
She's like, this is not a thing. But she's like, it's bad for you in other ways, carbonation, and it can affect fertility, but it, that fact that it shrinks your ovaries is not a real thing.
She's like,
I'm not an OBGYN, but I am a doctor. And so I checked. She's like, but I checked with an OBGYN. And
Mary just says, like, what I say is the truth. And I have Jesus. What's her tagline? I'm going to send Jesus after you. Who are you? What did you got?
In her mind, as most religious leaders who talk to God, think they talk to God. Mm-hmm. She thinks she has a direct line to God or Jesus or whoever. I mean, it's a whole pretty dark.
I'm going to be really honest here. I do not like Mary. I don't even find her to be entertaining anymore because you're taking your, I don't know, what are they called? Your flock. Like, mm-hmm. you're taking their money and flushing it down the toilet on all of your insane shopping. And it's terrible and disgusting. She's literally like Jim Baker. I don't see any difference between her and any other grifter that's stealing money from their constituents. I think it's awful. I think she's a terrible, awful person. I think she's from outer space. And I don't know how these people even speak. I would literally be like, I'm not speaking to you anymore. Like, what's the point?
I do think sometimes she lands. And so sometimes she's the voice of reason. I know it. You know what I mean? A lot of times she's out to lunch and we see that. But sometimes she lands and you're like, oh, I'm, you know, like she can be reasonable, but she can be
Danielle.
Out there. No,
Danielle,
am I wrong? I am enjoying watching her. I guess I'm trying to.
She makes me angry. Isn't that weird?
She's making me mad. Because she's allegedly stealing money from people.
I really do feel like in these Housewives franchises, we're going to have more grift than not. We're going to have way more people who are absolute criminal con people than not.
Yeah. Well, it's a personality trait. We've seen it before, Teresa. Mm-hmm. Though, again, I do think she didn't know what she was doing either. And she was just signing documents for Joe. And she was just like, I don't know how she, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, in the same case as Erica, she didn't
want
to know.
Danielle, how do we feel about her engagement to Louis?
I'm happy for her.
Okay. I'm happy for her. Look, that woman deserves all the happiness in the world. Yeah. And I hope that it's for real. I am very freaked out by him and I don't trust him. And the things that his ex-wife has said about him are absolutely awful.
Oh, I don't think I know what she has said about him.
Like that he was terrible. And, what? Here's the thing. I think that he's probably a violent narcissist, but Teresa's a violent narcissist.
So is she.
Maybe they cancel each other out. Like maybe they're perfect. I hope that it turns out well. I really do for her four daughters.
My daughters.
I hope it turns out well. I really, really do.
I do. I mean, at least she's getting sex. She seems to need it. You know, we all do.
Sure.
I'm happy for her. I just don't like to think these people pick bad people, but you know who's a good person.
Who?
Beautiful transition.
Who?
And he's so attracted to his wife is Seth and Meredith.
Okay.
He's so attracted to his wife.
Okay. It's but Danielle.
What?
His like constant horrific sex illusions, like alluding to sex, are cringy in a way I can't even. It's a little like, and I think that Meredith in her head is like, shut the fuck off, Seth, when he's doing that all the time. Like, it's,
you do a good Meredith too. Wow, you're
impressive. Wait, hold on. No, wait, Meredith, I'm not great at, but it's more like Seth and I have really worked through. I've got to workshop it. I haven't workshopped it. But you know what?
We'll take it to Playwrights Horizons before we take it to Broadway. Don't worry.
Thank you. But I really like Meredith. I really do. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's because she had a Shabbat dinner and that made me love her. And she really did know the prayers, which made me happy. But I find it to be a little aggressive. Like his lot of sexual
He's trying very hard, but I've just never seen someone so attracted to someone they've been married to for so long.
And you know what? Again, hope those kids work it out.
Well, here's the thing. When she's like, when your kids are older, they need you more than ever. But I'm like, except for Brooks, who I think is like 19 or 20.
Yeah.
The other kids are like 26 and 27. I'm like, your kids are okay. Like, you don't need to be so involved in your kids' lives. And she's like, I need more help with the kids. And you're like, they're 30. Like, they have to figure this shit out.
I mean, there is a point where as a parent, you have to be like, I'm here to support, but you got to figure it out on your own.
Yeah. And that's why when she's like, now that they're older, they need more help than ever. And I'm like, they shouldn't.
Danielle, they shouldn't. Your Meredith is also quite impressive.
Thank you. Good, I don't know. I haven't done it a lot. So again, we're going to do our workshops together, back to back.
We're working this out on the fly. Okay. Yes. Well,
I mean,
you go.
Anything else with Salt Lake City? anything else with Salt Lake City? Oh, this was my favorite quote, where Whitney was talking to Sarah Paulson.
Yeah.
We have now started. Uh-huh. Amanda is her name, Sarah Paulson. Uh-huh. I know you're friends with Sarah Paulson. What does she think of the new Sarah Paulson? Does she have thoughts on Sarah Paulson?
We've just talked about how, you know, we have both, that yes, she does look like Sarah. She really does. We haven't talked about the personality. I loved when she was so drunk, she just completely fell backwards.
That was pretty amazing. But I will say, fake Sarah Paulson is like, sorry, I keep calling her that, but she is.
it's not dissimilar. It's uncanny.
No, they're both gorgeous. Yes, exactly. I say it with all reverence. But so fake Sarah Paulson says, what is Lisa thinking about me? And Whitney goes, she wants nothing to do with you again, but she has committed to going tubing. I was like, this is the best quote I've ever heard.
Also, nothing to do with him. In that bikini with the birthday cake that kept falling onto the ground, and also just seeing all her stepchildren, her grown stepchildren, and they seem very sweet to her. I feel like I don't know that I could handle having a stepmother like
I know. The fact that she's in the jacuzzi with her stepchildren in her little bikini, I don't know why. Maybe I'm a prude. It just makes me very uncomfortable.
Whitney Wild Rose.
Whitney Wild Rose. It's so Whitney Wild Rose. Well, as a little treat for our audience, we did a live show last week, Casey and I, with Jason Mantzoukas, who is not a huge Housewives watcher, but we always force him like once a year to watch like 20,000 episodes, and then he watches them and then comes on the show, and he's always hilarious. So last week on the show, we just wanted to play this little bit, this one moment that we introduced Jason. He had watched a lot of things about Salt Lake City, but he didn't know one thing that was important. So we introduced him to a huge piece of knowledge, and we just wanted to play that little clip for you guys.
I feel like that's a nice transition to Salt Lake City, because we did hear about, you know, some of the women not enjoying their husbands anymore, namely one Mary Cosby, whose husband is now home. They both don't like rice.
It's right. Well, he doesn't know her because she likes a longer grain rice.
Yeah.
I mean, it's also interesting. Before Mary said it was literally like I was watching it, and I thought in my head, they don't know each other at all. And then she goes, "We don't know each other at all." Like it was like she answered me.
Her dislike for her husband is aggressive. Go ahead, Danielle.
Jason, I do think you should know something, and I did not tell you.
this is a biggie, Jason. Hold on to your fucking hat and your plant. Hold on to your goddamn plant behind you, because this is big. Yeah.
This is going to be a big one, Jason.
It's going to be a big one.
Mary's husband.
Okay, wait. Which one is Mary?
Mary is the one who's not attracted to her husband anymore.
Well, you know, okay, they were cooking the food. He was cooking the chicken.
Yes, totally. And she was like, you're not going to put that on the same plate, right?
She's like, for all of us, this is the first time you're ever going to get to hear someone learn this news, because you all remember where you were when you heard it, and now we're going to see Jason
just
hear it. Go ahead, Danielle.
Mary's husband is also her grandfather.
Wait.
Wait.
Oh, that's great. No. That's what did you do? What did you make me watch? You made me watch incest porn? Is that what this is? Is this some sort of what is this?
It was like an incest cooking show. Like Yeah. It's so hard to hear that, Jason. And see, we've all normalized.
Explain. Normalized. I need an explanation immediately. It's her. It can't be her real.
It's wait, her.
What is what? Oh my God. What are you for real? This that's for not real. Real. What?
It is.
It's a step grandfather, however, raised as her grandfather. Her grandmother, when she passed, said, we claim that the grandmother wanted her to marry her grandpa. So someone would be watching over him, not her. Not like he'll watch over you. It's like you'll take care of my
wait,
husband,
but the fact that this is wild, period. Now hold on. Is it her blood grandfather?
No.
Not blood, but she was raised by him.
Like, no. Okay. That's important. So okay. So
and they have son. I think that's important as well.
They like from sex.
Yes.
They have a son from human sex, right?
From human
sex. Yes.
Like 1 month, her menses came late, and she was pregnant because of sex that she'd had with her grandfather. Resulted in. Okay, so now I have context. I'm going to be frank with you. I have context for why Mary doesn't want to live with her husband. It's because it's her grandfather, and their relationship is predicated on incest.
That's right.
What is happening? This is a TV show. How is this a guilty pleasure?
You thought you were watching like a fun little show of like, look at them bickering over him making the chicken.
You tricked me. You made me watch this. You made me watch this nonsense.
Happy Halloween.
Anyway, that was a little piece of information we told him, and his reaction seemed on par. Leslie, anything else you want to say about the Housewives before we end this? It's always such a treat to have you on. You're such a student and master of the Housewives. You really are. And it's a joy to have you on.
I just want to say that I constantly marvel at the fact that all this time in, we still have fresh things to talk about, that we're reinventing the wheel over and over and over again, and that these ladies have put themselves out there for us in a way that is so deeply pleasing to me. And again, they're the bravest women I know.
Oh, you're so funny. Leslie, people can check you out on American Horror Story. Anywhere else they should, on your Insta, anything else you want to plug right now?
Go to my Instagram, Leslie Grossman. There's some fun things I have coming up that I'm actually not.
Will you come on when you're doing those and tell everybody about them? Because we have to have you on more. People love you so much. I love you so much. You're so funny.
I love this show. I love, what are your people called?
I don't know. People, sometimes they've also, in the past, they had a Facebook group that I think has disbanded because of who knows what, called the Whispering Aileens.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, what a wonderful name.
But I think there's still some Aileens around, but they're the funniest, smartest listeners too. We all get it. We all get each other. And it's such a joy to be surrounded by such funny, smart people that get it. We did a costume competition last week where people sent in photos, and you can check it out on my Instagram now. Anyone who sent photos, we put them on our Insta, a costume basically parade that was put together by the montage queen herself, Deanna Chang. And you can see all their costumes. The costumes, the Real Housewives cosplay is so good. Check it out. It's on my Insta. It's on Casey's Insta. Check it out, you guys. Also, don't forget, we're coming to New York and Boston in February. So get tickets if you want to see us live. Leslie, you're a joy. Thank you to Kate. Thank you to Renee. And RIP Casey. We'll see you next week. Thank you, Leslie. We love you.
Bye.
Bye.